Grace Hour, the live international talk radio ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore, Maryland. You can join us on the air today by calling 1-800-338-7060 or 410-483-3700 from outside of the United States. Now, here is our host.
And welcome, friends, to this edition of the Grace Hour. Once again, we're broadcasting live right here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach right here in Baltimore, Maryland. Great to have you with us today, friends. Thanks so much for joining us. And we hope you have the opportunity to be with us for the full hour today, which will begin, of course, with a devotional message, followed up, of course, as we open the phone lines here at the Grace Hour. Opportunity for you to join us and to participate in the broadcast. All you need to do to be a part of our show today, pick up that phone, dial one of the following numbers. Toll free in the United States and in Canada, 800-338-7060. And the local number for all of our listeners in the greater Baltimore area, it's 410-483-3700. And if you can't reach us by phone, friends, we'd be happy to receive your emails anytime during the broadcast. And you can send those emails to the following address, questions@gracehour.org. Tweet us your comment, question, or testimony at the Grace Hour. And of course, if you're listening or watching on Facebook Live or YouTube Live, well, send us your comments anytime you like, friends. We'd be happy to receive them and share them with our listeners around the globe. I want to welcome our local listeners in the greater Baltimore area on WRBS 1230 on your AM dial. It's great to have you folks with us on this Tuesday afternoon edition of the Grace Hour. And, of course, all of our friends listening around the globe, live on the Internet at gracehour.org. And, of course, everyone else listening and watching on Facebook Live. It's so good to be with you on this Tuesday afternoon. And once again, joining us in the studio, Pastor Ben, again, for those of you that weren't with us yesterday, a little background. Pastor Ben, a Finnish-born Bible teacher, lived in a number of different countries throughout these many years, France, Austria, here in America. For the last couple of decades, he's been living in Israel. Ben has devoted his life to studying and serving those through the Word of God. His call to live among God's chosen people has opened the door for him to, well, have a glimpse of Israel that few of us have had the opportunity to experience. The church and Israel, well, they belong together. We read about them in the Bible, of course, Old and New Testaments. And Pastor Ben, a resident of Jerusalem, well, he's visiting us here for several days of teaching on Israel, the Messiah, and the end times. His fervency, his insight, his wisdom from the Scriptures, well, all of these more will touch your heart and give us a deeper understanding into our theme this week, which, of course, is Israel and the signs of our times. So, without further ado, welcome, Pastor Ben. Great to have you back today.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you. When I came, it was a little bit of a climate change for me. Climate change, yes. colder climate, and my voice is getting stronger and stronger by the minute, so I feel quite good today. I thank God for that. What an opportunity to be with you all here in America. America is a country that has blessed me personally so much. When I was born in an area called Karelia, that was a war area. And right after the war, many, many people were poor and a difficult condition. I was receiving care packages from America. When I was a little kid, I ate American food, American beef. I wore American clothes. And I knew Americans are friendly people. And I have found that to be true. And I have to say, the body believers here in Baltimore is very, very much like that, as an expression of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, while I'm here in America, my heart is also very much in Israel, and I'm aware that right now very important decisions or negotiations are happening concerning Israel. But I haven't had time to watch the news yet, what is going on today, so I cannot make any comments about that. So I leave that alone. But big things are happening. Great wheels are turning. The God of Israel is blessing us, but also we must understand that how important it is to walk with Him. So thank you, Lord, for your word. Let us turn for a moment to Genesis chapter 28. There is a story about a man called Jacob. In Israel, we call him Yaakov, Jacob. And in verse 10, it says, Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. Now, he had to flee from home. His situation was very unique, because he had received a blessing from his father. Blessing of God from his father. It came a peculiar way. I would say quite unconventional way. Which we could even say in a tricky way. But he, nevertheless, he was the choice of God to whom the blessing should have been given. So he's a possessor of a blessing. The inheritance he has is in the land of Israel, but he has no way to get to his inheritance. His brother is sharpening his sword and is planning to kill him. He has to flee. Now, the Hebrew expression about Jacob is he was, as we say, Yoshev Ohalim. He liked to sit in the tents or dwell, live in the tents. He wasn't as much an outdoors man as his brother was. He liked home. But now, being in a situation where he had to leave home, he is all alone. He doesn't know where he's going. He doesn't know what is ahead. He knows the direction, but everything is just so scary. Maybe some of the people that listen to this today, you might be in a situation, you might be saying, God, where are you taking me? Where am I going? What is your plan? Situations may have to do with particular things in your life, I do not know. But in verse 11 of the same chapter, and he lighted upon a certain place, and tarried there all night, or we could say it for a night, because the sun was set. In other words, it was dark. And he took of the stones of that place, put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamt. And behold, a ladder set upon the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven, and behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. I'd like to make a few comments. This man, Jacob, he didn't have a Bible. He didn't have any version. Not King James, not New King James, not even a Hebrew Bible. He had no Bible. But God has a way to reach him. God has a way to communicate to him. So he communicated to him in a dream. We know there are all kinds of dreams. There are what we call pizza dreams and all kinds of dreams and wild dreams that don't mean anything. But this dream was different. behold, a ladder set on the earth. But in the original Hebrew, it does not say upon the earth, but it says to or towards the earth. The ladder is reaching the earth. Yeah, it also reaches the heaven, but it's reaching the earth. Earth does not uphold that ladder. Whatever is God's vision, whatever is God's plan, earth is not upholding it. It is in firmer hands than the earth. It is in God's hands. Whatever is God's plan to his church, whatever is God's plan for the land of Israel and the people of Israel, whatever is God's plan is not dependent on the earth. It reaches the earth. When I read this, I say, thank you, Lord, for reaching us. Thank you for the heavenly ladder, which is a picture of the Messiah. Thank you for reaching our hearts. Then it says the top of it reached to heaven. It reaches both earth and it reaches heaven. It's to the earth and it reaches heaven. And behold the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Let me make a couple of more comments about this amazing ladder. If you ever studied about the houses in ancient Israel and in the Middle East, they had like two floors. First floor, and then there was a ladder to the top floor. The important things like drinks and oil and wheat, and they were on the top level so that if there was some invasion by some animals or whatever, on the ground level, they would not reach the supplies that are up there. The supplies are on the second floor. The house of God is like this. It has like two floors. We're down here on the lower level. There's another level where are the supplies. There's another level. Apostle Paul actually was speaking about the house of God in the same terms, that some are in heaven and some are on the earth. It is actually like one household, the heavenly household. Okay, and angels of God ascending and descending on it. Ooh, very interesting. Do you remember Dr. Torrey, the pastor who was working with D.L. Moody? He was such a spiritual man, and I had such an appreciation, even though I haven't read a whole lot from him. But I remember what Torrey emphasized. Torrey said, when you read the scriptures, read carefully, slow enough, and prayerfully, so God can show you things what you are reading. And as I was reading and meditating on this, it struck me, why this direction, first ascending and then descending? I would think that, well, wouldn't they be first descending, coming down, and then ascending? And of course, the connecting ladder is none other than our Messiah, the Lord Yeshua, Jesus. Here he's called Jesus. Where I live, his mother called him Yeshua, so I call him sometime that way. Okay, he is the divine ladder connecting what is up, connecting what is down. And the angels of God ascending and descending on it. So the angels bring the needs of the earth to heaven, and then the supplies are coming down from heaven. There's a lot of communication between heaven and earth that we're not aware of. Angels are very real. Angels of God are servants sent forth to serve them who are the heirs of salvation, as Hebrews chapter 1 finishes. We are heirs of eternal life, heirs of salvation. Then he has a dream. It continues like this in verse 13. And behold, the Lord stood above it. The Lord is standing upon. And actually, it says in Hebrew, very literally, upon it. The Lord is standing upon this ladder. And he said to this man who is all alone, he has no one to turn to. He is far away from home. He has fears. He feels insecure. I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. Another amazing thing. You would expect him to say, I am the Lord God of your father, Isaac, and God of Abraham. But he said, Abraham, thy father. My friends, whoever is your father, your final father is still, it's going back to Abraham. Our faith is going back to Abraham. Abraham received the gospel. It says in the book of Galatians even, God preached the gospel to Abraham. But we don't have time more to go into it. How we appreciate Abraham, not because he was a perfect man in himself, but he's the reflection of the High Father, the Heavenly Father. Yes, yes, I am the God. I am the God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac. And then comes a very valuable sentence. Lord, please help me to understand this. The land whereon thou liest, the land where you are resting, to you, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. What was difficult for Jacob at this point? To rest. Resting was the most difficult thing for him. Now, the Lord gives us three pictures how we take the promised land, how we take even our place in the Lord as our promised land. But to Israel, there's also a literal promised land, the land which is also my land. There's three ways. To Abraham, God said, the land that thou seest, the land that you see with your eyes, the land on which you have a vision, that I've given unto you. Well, that reminds us of the great prayer in Ephesians 1 from verse 17 down, where the apostle is praying for the vision, the Father's heavenly vision to the Ephesians, because he knows the land that we see is ours. To Jacob, he says, to Abraham, it was difficult to see it as his land. He had saw all these people there, but he had to see it as his land. Jacob had a difficulty to rest. How could he rest? I can't get to my promise. The land wherein you rest, to you I will give it, and to your seed. I'm not giving you the details yet, but it will happen. And then in the book of Joshua, Yehoshua, as we say, or Joshua, God says in the first chapter, I don't remember, it's verse 5, 6, around there. He says, every place where your foot steps on, your foot treads on, that place I have given it to you. So how do we take the land? How do we take the land? By seeing it, by praying, Lord, give me eyes to see this divine inheritance. Give me souls to see with your eyes. Give me eyes to see these riches in this miracle book called the Bible. Then give me grace to learn to rest in you as my promised land. And also praying for Israel, that Israel will get to her inheritance. There are tremendous difficulties right now in the Middle East and in Israel, and I would love to talk about the latest, but I don't yet know what the latest is. But resting on that land, resting on the promises, and then walking step by step. Walking maybe in small steps. We start everything with small steps. But with these three realities and steps, the Lord gave him the instructions. I mean, with him, he needed the promise of the rest. And we need all these three realities. And then he says, and to thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. You will go to the east, you will spread to the west, to the north, to the south. And then he says, in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. That also has a connection to the Messiah. And I want to finish by reading this verse, verse 15. The verse which is so meaningful to me. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. And I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Thank you, Lord. God did it for Jacob. He came back. But that is later on. Amen.
And amen. Well, you're listening live to the Grace Hour, friends, on this Tuesday afternoon. That concludes the message shared with us today by our special guest, Pastor Ben. And we're glad that he's with us again today and throughout the entire week right here on the Grace Hour. So continue to tune in not only to today's broadcast, but for the next few days as well. And we're excited about his being with us, not only here in the Grace Hour, but throughout the days, each day at 11 a.m. here in our Bible College. And that's open to the public. Anyone and everyone is welcome. And then in the evenings at 7 p.m. right here in the chapel. And that is, again, scheduled for tonight as well. So we're looking forward to hearing more from our special guest. He's going to remain in the studio with us today, which means if you have a question that you would like to present to him, he's going to stay and we'll field those questions as they come into us here at the Grace Hour. Phone lines are now open, so take advantage of this opportunity and join us by dialing one of the following numbers. Toll free is 800-338-7060. That's 800-338-7060 in Canada, as well as the United States. You can dial that number and join us live. Locally in the Baltimore area, we want to encourage you to dial the local number, which is 410-483-3700. Your emails can be received by us anytime you wish to send them. The email address here at the Grace Hour is questions@gracehour.org. And we're looking forward to having you join us. Those of you on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, continue to send your comments. And if you have a question, send that as well. We have our first caller joining us. Virginia is joining us from the Baltimore area. Virginia, welcome.
Hello, Pastor Love. I have a prayer request for Melissa, my daughter. She is taking her board exams today. So I mean tomorrow. So she's studying for them and for to be a midwife. So if you could pray for that. And then I also have a question.
Go ahead, pose your question, and we'll pray for her after your question is answered.
Okay. I was noticing today in my Bible reading in the book of Leviticus that oxen, goats, and sheep were offered as a sacrifice to God, but it kind of puzzles me in a way because Jesus is the Lamb of God, and he was offered as a lamb. So I'm just wondering why they had all these other animals offered when, you know, it seems like it would all be lambs or, you know, sheep. So why are all these other animals acceptable to God, you know, being as Jesus was the final lamb of God that was offered? That's my question.
Yeah, actually, the animals that are proper for sacrificing, they are what we call the kosher animals. The kosher animals had to both divide the hoof and chew the cud. So what it translates in practice, like the animal that divides the hoof, he has like a more sure footing when he walks. Well, and also the animals that do that, they're not fighters. They're not like horse that has the hoof and he can kick you and push you. And horse is not proper. Camels also are not proper for that. Even though camel has that foot, but the other aspect is chewing the cud. It's like taking the food first and then chewing it later. It comes back and then you chew it a second time. It reminds us of Miriam, who was pondering these things and meditating on the things of God in her heart. So these kosher animals have the characteristic that they have like a sure step and they don't fight in the flesh, if we put it that way. And then they take the intake slowly, chewing the cud. That's like we take the Word of God prayerfully and meditatively and let it sink into our heart. So the goats are okay. They are in the same family as sheep. They are fine. Even though we know in Matthew 25 they are divided on the left side, but here is a different context.
Jenny, thank you so much. We have to finish up our first half hour here at the Grace Hour, but for those of you that want to join us, there's still plenty of time. We've got another half hour coming your way, friends, but we have to break now on our local station. Everyone else listening on live on the internet at gracehour.org or Facebook Live, you can stay with us. Again, another half hour coming your way. Looking forward to it. Thanks for joining us, friends. For those of you locally listening, WRBS, we'll be back tomorrow at the same time. We hope you'll join us then. If you can, though, transition over to gracehour.org for the next half hour. We're back with you live, friends, at gracehour.org. And again, the phone lines will be open for the next half hour, so please take this opportunity and join us live on the Tuesday edition of the Grace Hour. Again, call us if you're in the Baltimore area at 410-483-3700. And, of course, the rest, listening on the, live on the internet, gracehour.org or Facebook Live, 800-338-7060. Well, Pastor Ben, you explained beautifully how for Jacob and his descendants, of course, there was an inheritance. And it was, it was real estate.
Yes.
It was. It was a piece of land. But for believers today, it's not real estate, but it's a real state of mind. It's thinking with God. And it's the entering into the promises, not a piece of land, but the promises of God, his inheritance for the church today. Can you elaborate on that? Talk a little more about that.
Yeah, I would love to talk about it, just a few words. To Israel, the literal promised land is so important. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Israel is like God's headquarters. God has chosen that land for his own purpose. It is his decision. That's why there's so much questions about it and how do we deal with it, and I just got the news that it says Trump unveils Middle East plan that offers Palestine path to statehood and increased territory. It's not actually a Palestinian state now, but it seems to talk about some kind of a pathway. I'm not going into that topic now more, but I'm saying this. There's so much around that land. To a believer, the crucified and risen Messiah is the promised land, and our life in him along with that, the Word of God is in that same package. As we experience His risen life and the life of the cross and the table that is prepared for us in Psalm 23, that's all here. That's all here. So the spiritual promised land is also entered into the same way. Colossians chapter 2, I think, is the best way to illustrate it. I'll just wrap it up there. Colossians chapter 2, and there in verse 6, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, Jesus the Messiah, the Lord, so walk ye in him. God told Abraham, walk in the land, walk back and forth, walk in your inheritance. But now he says to us, walk in him, rooted and built up in him. As we walk, we're built up. It becomes more and more sure to us as we are rooted, established in the faith as you've been taught. And then we do all that with thanksgiving.
That's beautiful. Yeah, we're rooted in him, and we are to walk in him. Just as the children of Israel were, again, encouraged repeatedly by God to walk in that which was what? Given to them. And this was a land that was a gift, wasn't it?
Yes, a gift, an inheritance. Babylon was the place of the worship of devils, worship of idols. That was the wrong land. So God called Abraham out of Babylon to the promised land that Israel would be the land of the worship of God. Israel is the land of the worship of God. And there's so much battle about that land, and Israel had to, in coming in Joshua's time, throw out those nations, push out those nations with their idols. Because of that, they had to be pushed out. That it would be the land of the worship of God. And we, as the body of the Messiah, have to make sure that we take heed to what Apostle John says at the end of his first epistle, keep yourselves from idols, even those little hidden idols.
Just those little things. The little foxes can spoil the vine.
Yes.
Phone lines are open. You can join us, friends. We want to pray for Melissa. Her mother, Ginny, asked us if we would do that. Father, we do pray for Melissa, these board exams that she has to become a midwife. We pray, Father, that, well, we know lots of work has gone ahead of it, lots of preparation, lots of hours of study. We just pray, Father, that she would just do so well, excellently, Lord, and really pass these exams with flying colors and achieve all that you've put in her heart to do. We pray that as she does this, you would be glorified and answer our prayer for her. And we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Those phone lines are open, so join us when you have a chance at 800-338-7060 and locally 410-483-3700. Mike in Baltimore says, can you explain, Pastor Ben, the verse that says the Lord stood above and beside? Now, he doesn't give a reference. Do you know what he's making reference to?
I wonder if the reference is here to what we read in Genesis 28, the Lord stood above the ladder. In Hebrew, it's simply alav, which means above it, on it, above it. Yeah, it's so maybe some commentary also say beside it. Possibly, yes. I wonder if that is what we're referring to.
I don't think so.
So it's interesting that at this time there's no throne revealed yet. When God gains his people, then later on Isaiah sees him high lifted up upon the throne. Moses sees the Lord like above a pavement, a shiny, beautiful pavement under his feet. But the throne is revealed later. Now the first stage when he is gaining people for himself is the ladder. That I have a house, I have a connection. That's how he reveals himself.
Amen. It's comforting to think that the essence of our Christianity is not about our ability to take hold of that ladder and to climb it, but more so that God has come to us. And, you know, we think of what Paul wrote to Titus, and he says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. I mean, this is a salvation that is available to whosoever will. Anyone can come. But then it says this, and that grace teaches us. So it changes. The salvation is for all, but the particular teaching of grace is directed towards us, that is, believers. And then that grace steps into our lives and teaches and trains and, in some instances, disciplines us. But grace really does it all, doesn't it?
It really does. And when you think about Jacob's life at this point, he's in the moment of the greatest need. And then again, when he comes back from that long journey, there it says, Jacob was left alone. So when the scripture talks about sometime God of Israel, but the scripture talks about a God of Jacob, a favorite term in the Psalms, what the psalmist uses, God of Jacob is for us. That is the Old Testament, First Testament way of saying the God of all grace. Wow. The man in the deepest need meets he meets the God of Jacob, the God who comes down to the point of the need.
That's amazing. And I love the verse, Psalm 146. You just mentioned that, how he's mentioned in the Psalms. Verse 5 says, happy is he who hath the God of Jacob for his help. Let's be honest. Jacob was a rascal. If I were a public relations agent for God, I might say, call yourself the God of Abraham, call yourself the God of Isaac, but don't leave out Jacob. His name is too much mud attached to it. He's a supplanter. He's a deceiver. He's underhanded. He's not trustworthy. And yet God says, I delight being called the God of Jacob. Perhaps because he wants the Jacobs of this world to know that he is for them.
Only God can see the hearts, and he sees everyone's heart. And sometimes people that are like the least candidates in our minds and in our thoughts to be candidates for faith, they may have faith. They may have capacity for faith. So Hebrews 11, there it is. Hebrews 12, I'm sorry. God is not saying anything harsh about Jacob. He's actually saying tough things about his brother that seemed to be a good man.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Mm. It's a message that we love to proclaim to the world. If you're like Jacob, God has a place for you. Well, Pastor Moon is joining us from Mexico City, Mexico. Pastor Bruce, welcome, and go right ahead. You're on the Grace Hour.
Hi, thanks. It's a great, beautiful day here in Mexico City. My signal might run out, my battery, so if I cut out, forgive me. I was thinking how, Pastor Ben, you prayed for that God would open our eyes like he did Jacob on that day at Bethel, the house of God, and how he said that. Jacob said, I didn't know God was in this place. You know, and it was a desert. He was sleeping on a rock, and Esau was coming after him, and it looked like things were just going really south and that everything was going to end, and all the promises were not true that God had made. It just seemed that way. And then Jacob said, but I didn't know God was right here with me. And that's why he called it Bethel, right? And he saw, had that vision. And I was just thinking this, like everywhere we go, because the Holy Spirit has come into us to live in us forever, everywhere we go, and no matter what situation, it's the house of God, it's Bethel. And there's that ladder and the angels and the presence and the finished work, glory of God is with us no matter where we are. And we carry that presence wherever we go. And it touches other people. We just come back from soul winning in front of the hospitals a little bit. I'm in the street right now, and, it was the presence of God really touching people. And so those are my thoughts to add to what Pastor Ben said.
Very good. I love everything you said. Thank you for going out to the streets. Wow, what a beautiful day it is to share the gospel. It's interesting that that place was first called Luz. Luz is a nut tree. There's a beautiful fruit inside, and there's a hard shell that you can get into it. That was Jacob's situation. I got the promise. I got the blessing. But my brother will not let me get into it. I'm in an impossible situation. So that place was first called Luz, but because the divine ladder came there, it became the house of God. So sometimes it looks like we're planting potatoes on a parking lot when we go to share the gospel, but God may take the hardest place and say, this is where my house is built. And God shows Israel. And it looks like Israel is not so interested in this side of the message. They like the first part of the book more. But Israel will be the chief carrier of Messiah to the world for 1,000 years' time.
Beautiful. Pastor Moon, thanks so much. We lost him, but wow, great encouraging words for him and everyone that's, again, proclaiming the gospel. I love that, you know, planting the potatoes in the parking lot. Doesn't look like much is going to come of it, but where God is present, so many great things can happen. Julie writes and says, Pastor Stevens always used to say about Jacob that he was a man who did a lot of things that were not very good. Yet God's grace is clear for Jacob. It proves he had a covenant with Abraham, and he cannot forsake his word even when Jacob didn't get it all right. And there were plenty of times when he didn't get it all right.
Yes. So the human idea of morality, the human goodness is one way of looking at things, but God is in a different level. He's looking for hearts that want him, that want his grace. And morality is good, and I believe living in the Lord produces good morality, but we don't start with man-made morality. We start by leaning on the Lord, and Jacob had that capacity. So the moral good sometimes can distract us from the need for God, but at the same time, we must be very careful to say that, yes, faith, righteousness by faith does produce also righteous living. But it's a product of it. It's not man-made. Yeah.
Morality can't save you.
No.
I mean, even the best moral people we know, if they haven't been cleansed by the blood of Christ, will be lost. A sad thought to consider, but the truth nevertheless.
Yes. From my viewpoint, the most immoral thing is to say to the God of all grace, I don't need your grace. It is so immoral to turn our back on the goodness of God.
Wow. And maybe that's a pretty good description of the elder brother when Jesus spoke that parable in Luke chapter 15. People say, well, you know, what was his problem? Well, certainly pride was there. But beyond that, he was, in essence, saying to his father, I don't need grace. I have been good enough to serve you all these years, so I understand why my brother needs it. He's clearly a failure, and he has ruined your name and your reputation, and he does deserve to be a servant. But I, on the other hand, I don't need this grace that you've lavished upon him. And, of course, that's where he got it all wrong.
Yes. I forgot which one of the theologians it was who said it, but one of the theologians who wrote that three-volume set, whoever it was, he said that God is upset, or I should say displeased with every sin, but the sin that just goes over everything is that self-righteousness, because man is trying to invade his throne. It's taking the place of God. So thank God that we know our need. Thank God we know our need.
Amen. Amen. I've got a question for you, Pastor Ben. when Christ confronted, in particular, the Jewish leaders of his day, they often responded to him with a defense mechanism. And the defense mechanism was, we are Abraham's children. They would use that phrase repeatedly when Jesus was kind of getting too close to their hearts, when what he was saying was really speaking deeply to their souls and convicting them of their need. But they would always respond and say, listen, we're Abraham's children. But the Apostle Paul, when writing to the Galatians, he wrote something fascinating. And he talked, of course, in the fourth chapter about Abraham. But he didn't say, who's your father? He said, who's your mother? Because he said Abraham had two wives, Sarah and Hagar. Could you explain the difference there and what the Apostle Paul was referring to when he said the issue really isn't who your father is. The issue is, who is your mother?
Yeah, born from the divine seed. Yes. In dealing with these people, of course, the Lord said, I know you are Abraham's seed, but now you are seeking to kill me, to destroy me. Our mother, Paul says so beautifully, but our mother is the Jerusalem which is above, which is free. So he's referring that the earthly Jerusalem at that time wasn't free. There was another system that had taken place. So actually, I think in Psalm 118, where the word says, the stone which the builders have rejected has become the head of the corner. Now that's very interesting because they had the building ready. The system of learning, which they had taken from the Torah, but they had recycled it and reinterpreted it, so they had already a house built. So a house of faith is now here. So the house is ready, but then comes the cornerstone. So they compare the house to the cornerstone. They say the house can't be wrong, so the cornerstone has to be wrong. But it's actually the opposite. The cornerstone is right, and the house is wrong. And they're not willing to say that all our morality has filled the rags. So the mother is the Jerusalem from above. That's the free seed born of the Spirit. Amen.
Beautiful. Julie writes back, God saw the heart of Jacob and knew he would come through and live for the God of Abraham. And it shows that, well, we have such great hope because when we fail, we can rebound and rebound into God's amazing grace. Mary writes, thank God, Jacob in the Old Testament, Peter in the New Testament, we have such grace available to us. And what a blessing that is. And Holly writes, Father, yeah, well, she's praying for Melissa as well, who we prayed for earlier. These are just some of the comments that have come into us. There are others. We'll see if we can get to those as well. Yes. Holly just says, thank you, Pastor Ben, for being here and sharing with us. And Carolyn says, amen, thank you. Also, Richard sends his gratitude as well. And Daniel writes, did God allow Jacob to win when they wrestled?
He called his name Israel. It's the Prince of God, a wrestler, the winner, whatever. So God appears to be saying that you have won. But how did he win? By getting the limp. How do we win? By getting the limp. Hmm. How did Jacob win the situation? His brother was coming with 400 men with swords and whatever, spears. And they see this poor guy limping. He can hardly make it. His brother's heart melts. He pushes the soldiers back and say, forget it. I'm just going to go and love him. Mm. Amazing way to win.
Wow.
With weakness, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, that is amazing. And it often makes me wonder, as Jacob's family witnessed, I mean, they must have been fearful at the fact that Jacob would someday run into his brother and his brother would want vengeance and might even take his life. And I'm sure that Jacob's family understood that. But for them to witness that kind of love, that kind of forgiveness that Esau had for his brother Jacob, it makes me think that a young Joseph might have been watching very carefully and someday would have to forgive his own brothers.
That is an awesome thought. Wow, that is an awesome thought. Yes.
What he witnessed, he would someday...
He would remember it.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
We still have time to take your call, friends. 800-338-7060. That's toll free. And locally here in the Baltimore area, it's 410-483-3700. And as we mentioned earlier, Pastor Ben, you will be, of course, back with us tonight in the chapel at 7 p.m. And I guess we have to ask you, how are you holding up under all of these meetings and all of these hours of preaching and teaching?
When I first came to this climate, I had a little bit more difficulty in talking. But my voice is now really doing good, and I feel good. I feel very good. Jet lag takes care of itself. It's a couple of more days, and it'll be perfect.
Amen. We're glad to hear that. Rachel has written to us. She says, I was born in the Framingham area, the Framingham Church, and we moved to Baltimore with the church. The Grace Hour has always been my guiding post and the lighthouse that leads me back home. Thank you to the Grace Hour for being a constant source of knowledge and guidance. You are more important than you'll ever know. Well, thank you, Rachel. That is very, very encouraging to hear that, and we hope that the broadcast has been a blessing to all of our listeners, both here in the Baltimore area and throughout the country and throughout the world. And, of course, now we have this wonderful privilege of being live on the internet, and there are believers tuning in around the globe on a daily basis, Monday through Friday, and we're excited that they're able to hear these precious thoughts and able to partake of enjoying Pastor Ben, just as all of us here in the Baltimore area are as well. And again, we want to invite you out tonight to our chapel. We're located at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, and we are in Baltimore. The zip code is 21206. If you'd like to plug all of that into your GPS and join us tonight, again, Pastor Ben will be sharing tonight right here in the chapel, and all are welcome. There are no fees, no costs involved. Just come, hear, listen, and be built up in your faith. Let's go back to the phones. Arbor is joining us from the Baltimore area. Arbor, welcome.
Hey, Pastor Love. Hey, Pastor Ben. I just want to encourage us, like, encourage me when, you know that story when disciples brought the guy who was sick on top of the roof? So it reminds me today and yesterday when I see a lot of people at church getting together. It's like, it was no place to sit there and just hearing Pastor Ben and coming from far. And I was reading Romans, let me say, our brother was stopped by Satan because Satan doesn't want to allow our brother to come visit us. But this is the day when Pastor Ben came, and thank you for coming, and thank you for encouraging us. You're a blessing. We love you.
Thank you for the kind words that you gave. God bless you. God bless you so much.
Thank you, Arbor. Appreciate the call. We have one of our listeners on Facebook Live wondering if these services are being recorded. We can check with our engineer, and he's acknowledging that they are. So, Julie, we hope that you'll be able to access them, and you get to enjoy not only what you hear in the Grace Hour, but during the other meetings throughout the day and throughout each evening here. And this will happen again tonight, across tomorrow during the day at 11 a.m., and then back on the Grace Hour at 1 p.m. And then we have our midweek service. That's coming up tomorrow night at 7 p.m., and of course, all are welcome as well. And the audio for these messages from Pastor Ben will be available by early next week. So you might have to be a little bit patient, but if you are, then you'll be able to hear all of the messages from Pastor Ben's visit, week-long visit, right here at the Greater Grace World Outreach. Pastor Ben, again, we've mentioned it a couple of times to our listeners. That'll be 7 p.m. tonight. Is there anything in particular you'll be sharing or talking about tonight by way of stimulating their decision to come out and hear?
I might share a little bit more about Israel, but another thing about the fatherhood of God, as it is expressed in the Song of Songs. At some point, we will speak about the Song of Songs. It might be tonight.
Wow. Well, there you go, friends. So take advantage of the invitation. And if you're able to, again, come on out. And all you got to do is just get a parking space here at the Greater Grace World Outreach and walk into the chapel. And again, it's all yours. And for those of you that are, again, wanting to find out more information about how you can hear these messages, again, we've been told that by next week, all of the audio will be available and you'll be able to listen to any of these messages. The archives will be available on our sermon library, and you can find out what those are at ggwo.org, ggwo.org. Well, friends, we want to thank you for this the opportunity that you've given us once again to come into your homes, or in some cases your automobiles and your places of work, and wherever you may be tuning in and listening. We appreciate it very much, and again, we hope that you are gleaning from all of these precious truths and these great principles. And of course, Pastor Ben, with the Prime Minister of Israel being here in the States and meeting with our president and others as well, I mean, these, what's happening in the world, and in particular in Israel, these things are happening so rapidly that things could change almost on an hourly basis.
These things are huge. The response from the what we call like the Arabic people of Israel, or so-called term is Palestinians today, what their response will be, it's to be seen. It is not always very favorable, so we'll see what happens. I pray there wouldn't be big riots and all that. We will see.
Yep, it's all unfolding right before our eyes, and what many of us believe are these last days. Well, Pastor Ben, we want to thank you once again for joining us today here in the Grace Hour. It's always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
And friends, again, we'll be back tomorrow for the next live edition of the Grace Hour. We encourage you to tune in at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And if you do, well, you'll be blessed with some more great thoughts that Pastor Ben will be able to share with us. And of course, everyone else, don't forget tonight, 7 p.m. right here in our chapel. The meeting will begin at 7. No cost, no charge. Come on out. Be blessed. Thanks for joining us, friends. Until tomorrow, we'll be back.
Thanks for listening to The Grace Hour. Our live program airs weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Grace Hour is a ministry of the Greater Grace Church. You are invited to visit Greater Grace at 6025 Moravia Park Drive, Baltimore, Maryland, 21206. For more information, go to gracehour.org or call 1-800-338-7060.